hymnbooks as we stand. Turn to hymn number 527. I Know Whom I Have Believed. Hymn number 527.
Fegler, would you come please lead us in prayer if you wouldn't mind? And I'm so thankful for that song. That song basically puts to music 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I'm so thankful that that precious truth, I knew the song. I didn't have the verse out of the Bible memorized, but I knew the song, and the song carried the truth of the message. And that settled my confidence in Jesus Christ for my salvation and the assurance, and nailed that down. And thank you so very much for singing that song. Well, Brother Fegler, God bless you, sir. Lead us in prayer, please, if you will. Let's begin tonight.
Father, we thank you that once again we can gather together in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. We've come to worship and to praise you, to sing the songs of your redeeming grace. How we thank you for it. We ask your blessing upon this service tonight. Bless the choir as they minister, and the orchestra, and the musicians. And Father, we pray that you'll be with our pastor tonight and through this next week, and Brother Aaron as he is in the camp. Lord, that you will use them for your glory and for the salvation of souls and the continued growth of the saints of God. Bless Brother Mark tonight as he brings us the word. May he feel and sense that liberty that comes from your spirit. And Lord, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Now we commit ourselves in this service to you. Ask, Lord, that in all of it you would be glorified and the name of Jesus would be exalted. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, we're thankful for blessings, aren't we? The blessings that God gives to us. Listen as Melody sings a song called Blessings. And it's a little different from count your blessings, but you'll see that God sometimes uses amazing things in our lives to bless us. God bless you, Melody.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessing comes through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessing comes through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, the pain reminds its heart, this is not our home. Cause what if your blessing comes through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rains, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Thank you.
Well, we're so glad to see you here tonight. Thank you for coming, and I trust that you'll leave here saying that you have a new, renewed love for Jesus Christ in your life, reason to serve Him in a greater way and to shine brighter for Him every day. I do hope that that'll be your testimony when you leave this evening. There are a lot of folks who are not in church on Sunday nights. Sunday nights is it's kind of like family night, you know, in churches that I've been used to being in and right here. Seems like this is the backbone of the church. And on Sunday nights, you don't have as many other things going on. Lots of times on Thursday nights, you know, our teenagers are out and our youngsters are out and our teachers teaching them are out and all that kind of thing. And all you got left is just, you know, a few of the folks that you because a lot of the workers are scattered around other places and things. So Sunday night is a favorite service of mine, and I'm so glad that you're here. Well, we're going to sing in just a moment, but let me just go ahead and take a second to welcome any visitors. I don't want to miss anyone that's here for the first time or first time in a long time. Anyone anywhere visiting with us tonight, would you raise your hand? I don't want to miss you. We'd love to welcome you, make you feel at home. All right, okay. Tonight, don't forget to pick up the Scribe Experience. Make sure and pick those up, if you will. And we have boxes of them back there. Many of you, if you remember, around November and December, we put out the journey tickets at registers and that kind of thing. If you could help us with that in your area, at the dry cleaners, at your five and dime market, you know, your convenience store, or wherever that you go, maybe you've got a relationship with the gas station, you know, and maybe you know the folks there, and they would take a stack and put them there. Just looking at this, when someone sees this, it would perk their interest, you know. And so if you would, we've got boxes of them back there and then stacks at every back table. Please take an inch or two with you, and we have just a few weeks to spread the news about this, and that'll be a great, great help and great blessing. Thank you, Brother Tom, for praying for Pastor, for Brother Aaron, as they're preaching this week. And Pastor, we'll be back on Thursday night looking forward to the musical from the Children's Music Academy and their summer program. Miss Kara has been working on that, the Mount Zion Marathon. And here with the Olympic theme and all that, I know that that'll be a very interesting and wonderful presentation. I've heard it before and looking forward to hearing it in a great way here. So plan on being here 7 o'clock Thursday night. The teenagers will meet in here. And young people, let me encourage you not to stay home. These youngsters that are involved in this, they need to see their heroes watching them do this. And so some of you that are in high school and junior high and college and that kind of thing, you don't realize, some of you young people are up here, you don't realize the way these youngsters look up to you. And so just an encouraging word, you can go up to them and say what a great job and blessing and all that kind of thing. And maybe someone didn't do that for you as much when you were coming up. So you do it for them, and God will bless you for it on Thursday night. That'll be a great, great thing. Well, let's take a hymn book, turn to page 295. Brother Dave, come, please, if you will. Lead us and tell me the story of Jesus.
Thank you.
sing that chorus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's stand together, would you please? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I don't know that we'll sing all the verses that go with that, but here we go.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
We'll sing the second verse. He fills my mouth with laughter.
Ha, 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 ha.
You know, don't do it like you're grumbling. Go ahead and act like you're actually laughing. You'll be surprised. It'll help you. It will put oxygen in your brain. It'll help you. Here we go.
He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. My mouth with laughter, ah, ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my
strength. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. God bless you. Let's fellowship together now as the choir comes down, and we'll sing it again.
Joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away.
Come on down, please, if you will. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't even want to know what key I put you in there. Key of X flat, I think. We need to pray for our nation. I hope you pray because the Bible tells us to, and I hope you are sensing the urgency of praying for our nation. We're just a hop, skip, and a jump from the dark ages, from God's judgment. It could happen quickly. The easiest way to judge America is to hit our pocketbook. Shut down the banks, Dow Jones, go bottom out, and all that kind of thing. I don't understand a lot of things that happen. I question motives. I don't know what's going on. But it seems to me like if we gave millions of dollars to a terrorist group, it seems like that we'd be at least put on the no-fly list. But our leaders give $400 million for whatever reason, and that's in dispute. But giving $400 million to the number one nation harboring, training, and sending terrorists into the world. What is up with that? You know, I don't. That's not political. That's survival stuff right there. So we need to pray. We need to continue praying, and then we get done, we need to pray some more. And you know, God spared the children of Israel in Egypt, in a little part of a land called Goshen. And when God brought down the judgment, God spared his people there. I'm not so sure we will be as fortunate if God decides to break things loose on America. So we have the victory in Jesus Christ. We've read the end of the book, and everything's okay, and we're on the winning side. But let's pray for our nation and for the privilege of being able to go and witness to other people. And God help us if some of the same things happen here that are happening in Russia right now. And let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the freedoms that we still richly enjoy and take for granted. Lord, it seems like that the blessings that we heard about earlier, the blessings, Lord, we don't appreciate them sometimes until they're gone. So, Lord, I do pray now for President Obama. Lord, I pray that as you have directed and guided other leaders in the Old Testament and other men who resisted your will, but, Lord, you decided to use them in spite of themselves. Lord, I pray that your will would be done mightily, miraculously, and Lord, immediately. Lord, help that your will to start in our hearts right here tonight. Lord, this offering is an expression of our love. And I pray now that you would continue to bless your people, bless your work. And Lord, we love your work you're going to do now. In Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen. God bless you.
Now, before Pastor Sears comes with the message, the ladies' ensemble is going to sing a song titled A Storm Now and Then.
Valerie, great job. You know, a song is a much more of a blessing when you know the person singing it, and you know that they're singing it out of experience, and that's wonderful. God bless you, Valerie, and ladies ensemble. Melody, wow, thank you. The music today, morning, and tonight has been a blessing to our hearts, and we dig right into the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, if you'll turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter number 4. How to know God's voice. How to know God's voice. You know, the most important part about knowing God's voice is to seek His voice. It's assuming that we are seeking God's voice. Let me give you an example, please. Remember Joshua chapter 9? Remember when Joshua was depending upon the Lord, and he went up against the city of Jericho and was victorious and all of that. Then sin came into the camp, short-circuited the power of God, and God's power is not going to share with sinfulness. And so God took his hand off, and they only sent part of the army in there, just a small little town called Ai, nothing like Jericho. We don't need to have everyone. And 30-some men gave their lives unnecessarily because they just weren't purely and wholly seeking after God. Well, Joshua got on his knees, and boy, he got things right, and the nation got things right with God, and Achan had to pay a great price and his family for their sin, and all of that took place, and then they sacrificed before the Lord, and they said, Lord, now we want to be right with you. We want to do your will and follow you, and we need your strength and your guidance, and they had victory once again. Great lessons in that, by the way. And so now word had spread, and there was a group of people called the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites decided to craftily put something together, and they beguiled the people of Israel. And they came to Joshua and the leaders, and they said, hey, we've heard about your fame. We've heard about your victory and your great power and your great God and all that. And we're so far away from you, and we're not going to harm you ever at all. You know, we're not a threat to you. But we came, and just flattery, flattery. They made sure that their clothes that they wore looked like they traveled a long ways. Made sure that their food was worn and older, you know, looking, and all those kinds of things, all the evidence, all the trappings. And they were distracted by what their senses took in, what they saw, and what they heard. And the Bible says that Joshua and the princes and the leaders, that they took of their victuals and sought not counsel after the Lord. They said, surely, yeah, that'd be the right thing to do. And they didn't pray about it. They didn't seek God's voice. And they went ahead and made an agreement and made a league with these people. They found out directly that they were their neighbors. They were the next ones in line. They didn't seek the Lord's voice. If you're going to find God's voice, you better, first of all, be seeking His counsel, seeking His guidance, listening for His voice. Because He's not going to invade your space. He's not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do. God made us with a will and with a choice to choose. Only willing love is worth the price. So I encourage you, please, if you're not seeking the Lord and His will in your life, please make that decision right now, because He knows what is best for us. He knows how to take a storm and bring a rainbow out of that. And by a rainbow, I mean the rainbow in the biblical and in the most wonderful sense. He knows how to do that. And 1 John chapter 4 deals with people who are seeking, wanting God's direction, wanting His instruction, wanting His guidance, and they're hearing different voices. I don't know if you've ever felt that in your life. Trying to discern God's will. And you're wondering, okay, is this what I'm thinking, or is this what God is saying to me? When someone else is saying something, you know, is this from God? So let's look, please, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Say this last verse with me out loud, please. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I hope you'll pray that God will use this text and use these next few moments for His glory, because honestly, I have to tell you, I feel like I'm trying to bite a watermelon. Now, I've never tried to do that. I'm just trying to imagine what that'd be like to try to bite a watermelon, you know, that's unsliced. We're going to try to slice this up because it's too big for me to wrap my hands and my heart around it. But with God's help, I believe it'll be something to be a blessing. I know it's been a blessing to me. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You so very much for all that You've done in our midst here today. We thank You, Lord, for the decisions that have been made this morning. Lord, I thank You for this young man, Xavier, that got baptized, 12 years of age. Lord, I pray that there be others that would put their faith and trust in You, follow You in believer's baptism, and serve You. Lord, if tonight there might be a young person, a teenager, a mom, a dad, a grandmother, and grandfather, Lord, that we would surrender ourselves to You anew and afresh tonight. Lord, may we place ourselves on the altar. Say, here am I, Lord, send me. So, Lord, we pray that You would bind Satan. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon this place. In His precious name we ask these things. Amen. In chapter 4, verse 1, we have some interesting words as we begin this passage. Just by way of introduction, I want to pause here for a few moments and look at these. The first word, beloved, beloved. God loves you. God loves you with a love that you cannot understand. You cannot grasp God's love. Just the picture of Him sending His Son to die on Calvary for your sins and for mine. Beloved. He starts this text out saying, I love you. Now, someone who loves you wants the best for you. Beloved, believe. Believe. Oh, you know, it's popular to believe. It's popular to be spiritual. It's popular to, as long as you believe in something, you know, it's a good thing. No, we're going to see here that it's important who we believe. It's important what we trust. This thought of love, this thought of trust that we sing the song, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Our trust, our belief, love and trust. And then this word not. If you want to do a study sometimes that's interesting, do a study on the knots of the Bible. The knots of the Bible. Of course, we have a lot of knots in the Ten Commandments. I'm thankful not is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think of this word not, I think of the word truth. Truth. Please make sure that you don't compromise on God's truth. Satan has been attacking God's word from the Garden of Eden. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, he said, yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? He's been casting doubt and disparaging the precious holy word of God. He's been doing that as far as time began. Truth, love, trust, truth. And then, beloved, believe not every spirit. There's a choice. There's one syllable words here that I'm giving you. Love, trust, truth, and choice. Believe not every spirit. You have a choice. You have a decision to make. This is by way of introduction here. And then one last word. Believe not every spirit. Now, you might get a little bit, uneasy during this message. As we get into these thoughts here that are coming. But whatever you do, remember verse 4. I'm not talking about spooky things, but verse 4, the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Understand that if you're born again, you are a child of God, and you have the omnipotent, holy God within you. And because of that, we're a child of the King. We have the privilege of claiming His name over any spirits that are around. So with that thought, that God loves us and God wants us to believe in the right and follow His precious word and His truth and to choose Him, the Bible tells us that believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Try them. Put them on trial. In essence, here in verse 1, if you're jotting things down, jot down this phrase, be on guard, not asleep. Be on guard, not asleep. I have a tendency to put people to sleep sometimes during Sunday school and church services and that kind of thing. I encourage you, don't fall asleep here. Don't fall asleep because the closer that we come to God doing something great in this world, the more demonic activity is going to take place. We see that throughout the Word of God. We see that in the Old Testament. We see that in when Jesus came. Demonic activity is on an uprise every time that God is going to do something great. Folks, we're on the tail end of the last days. And I know that people have been preaching that, but I don't see how in the world that I was playing checkers with my nephew. I was playing checkers with him, and I hadn't played checkers in a long time. I was in Chattanooga, and he wanted to play checkers. And so I said, okay, all right. And both of us were trying to get our players in the right positions and thinking ahead and all that kind of thing, checkers and chess and those kinds of things. Hey, all of the players are in place magnificently to fulfill the Word of God in the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, and all the other prophecies given to us of the tribulation period. It's all in place. May I add something, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I do believe that Hollywood is doing a better job of preaching about prophecy in their TV shows and their movies than most pulpits are in the churches of America. You see, when the things that are going to happen in Revelation begin to take place, they're going to say, oh, yeah, I saw that on a movie. I saw that, too, in a movie. Oh, yeah, and it'll be okay because the movie ended all right. The TV show ended, and we won. Let me tell you something. At the end of the tribulation, God wins. God wins. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Question them. Put them on trial. Interrogate them. Be on guard, not asleep. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, lest Satan should have an advantage, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I encourage you not to delve into the occult. I encourage you not to study. Learn all you can about Jesus Christ. Learn how to magnify and imitate Jesus in your life. We'll learn all we need to about Satan from God's holy word. Don't delve into the enemy's camp. Please don't do that. Romans 16 verse 19 says, I would that ye were simple concerning evil and wise concerning that which is good. Simple. In other words, not experienced. Not experienced. This thing of spirits, God help us. If God's people are involved with Ouija boards and horoscopes and palm readers and all that kind of thing, and all that kind of stuff is condemned by the Word of God, please don't go to that. Go to God's Holy Spirit. Go to God's Holy Word and ask Him for the direction. And I know that Satan doesn't like these kinds of things, and he's going to fight in every way possible. So be on guard, not asleep. The Spirit of God is in the Christian. Spirits of wickedness are in the world. Now, someone may ask you, they might say, so do you believe in the spirit world? What they mean is, do you believe in ghosts? I don't believe in ghosts. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. Okay? I don't believe I know that it'd be nice to think that Aunt Susie and Uncle Joe, you know, maybe you kind of, imagine things and stuff, and I understand our minds in some ways comfort us, and memories flash back and all that kind of thing, and sometimes in dreams, God has a wonderful way of helping us in our minds to deal with the loss of a loved one. And he brings those things to our minds, sometimes even in dreams. It cleanses that out of our consciousness, and that's a good thing. That's not anything bad. But my friend, when someone dies, according to Luke chapter 16, the Bible says that Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And Jesus said the rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So as far as spirits going around, they're not human beings who have died. But there are lots of spirits going around, and may I say that the greatest majority of them, praise God, are angels of God. They're God's ministering spirits. But then there are those who are trying to deceive God's people, trying to do harm to God's work. Such is the case here in 1 John, in chapter 4, John is going up against this particular heresy, you might say. Docetism is something that taught, and I believe it was Corinthus that was the first proponent of this, and they were teaching that Jesus grew up, natural birth, and that the Son of God came down and indwelt him at the River Jordan at baptism. And that the Son of God, that God left him at the cross. And this was being taught, attacking the incarnation, attacking the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, attacking all of that. And you might, if you've done any study at all, this is a basis for something called, you probably heard of this, Gnosticism. It starts with a G. G-N-O-S-T, Gnosticism. It's kind of the basis of that. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? This teaching greatly influenced a man named Muhammad. And you'll find in Islamic teaching that thought of God leaving the body of Jesus, you know, at the point of when he went to the cross, that he didn't really suffer, God didn't suffer on the cross, all that kind of thing. That's in Islamic doctrine. And so the Apostle John, he was there at the cross. He served with Jesus Christ. He was the guardian of Mary. He took care of her. He has walked with God. He's known him. In this way, he said, be on guard, not asleep. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And these false prophets, by the way, are led by wicked spirits. Wicked spirits. Be on guard, not asleep. I'll share this to illustrate. I was at Orlando Regional Medical Center going up to make a visit there at that hospital. I'd parked the car there on the street and found a spot there off of Orange Avenue, and I was walking up the sidewalk and headed up to the entrance. It was very hot. It was just about three or four weeks ago. It was very hot outside. I left my coat in the car, figured I'd just wear my shirt and tie and just went on in. As I'm walking up the sidewalk, getting closer to the entrance, I feel something hit me. It was something very light, and it was just something that I sensed for a moment. I just sensed something, you know, that hit me, and I looked, and it was goop. I mean, it was awful. It was green stuff. It was slimy. It was terrible. This guy came up behind me. He was a Hispanic gentleman, and with broken English. He said to me with a shocked look on his face, he said, "Bird! Bird!" And I thought, great, this is terrible. I mean, it hit my shoulder. It splattered down this way a little bit, but it was all over my back. And my back, it went down my pants, on the bottom of my pants. It was on my shoe. It was this green goo. I thought first, what kind of a bird hit me? Pterodactyl? I mean, you know. He reached in his pocket trying to help. He pulls out some tissues and trying to help me. And it was interesting. God knows I'm telling the truth. He pulls out these napkins, and these napkins had printed on it. It looked like $100 bills. He had a stack of napkins, $100 bills. I was just glad he had something. So I didn't have a handkerchief, nothing. And so he's trying to wipe it off, you know, and things. And burr, beep, burr, oh, terrible. And so then I'm thinking something doesn't seem right here. And he keeps hitting right there at my wallet. And so I, you know how you just kind of, you know, keep feeling it, you know, and making sure, because I thought he's trying to pickpocket me, you know. And no, he never got it. Never. I thought, okay, now this is just weird. And the longer I went back and I looked, I walked in the bathroom and thinking, there's no bird on the planet right now that can dump like that. That just would not happen. So I went back and I looked at the scene where it happened. There's a crossover bridge between the parking lot and where I got hit. I saw it on the ground, the green stuff on the ground. There's no bird. I went and got the security guy, and I told him what happened, and I said, he's gone. I don't know where he is, you know. I was just thankful, you know, he hadn't taken it. A day later, I get a phone call from the bank. And here's this guy that was really there to help me and want to do something good for me. And he must have had one of those electronic things. And he got my debit card number. He was just hitting that wallet. And he got that thing. And they said, we stopped it because it seemed like that these were charges that were not consistent with what you buy and that kind of thing. So we wouldn't let them go through. Now, folks, you say, that's terrible. That's awful that people would do that. Listen, that is child's play compared to what Satan wants to do in our lives. He will distract us. He did it with the Gibeonites. He'll do it in every possible way he can. Be on guard. Don't be asleep. He said, try the spirits. And how do you try them? Number two, be proactive, not reactive. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Be proactive, not reactive. Well, let's see where it goes. Let's see, you know, just back off and if it goes. No. He said, find out. Now, when I was studying on this, I was just saying, Lord, now, what is the deal with this? Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. Wouldn't it be easy to, if you ask that question, you know, for an evil spirit just to lie? You see, when the church was getting started, there were gifts of the Spirit in the church to fill in the gaps for until the Word of God was complete and the doctrine was set and they could check. A lot of times they didn't have Galatians 2:20. A lot of times they didn't have John 3:16. They didn't have 1 John 1:9. And so there were people in the church that would say, this is what the Lord has told me to say, and they would say it. Well, sometimes there'd be heresy. And so they had to, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that maybe two or three at the most would prophesy and let the others judge. And this is what they would do. He gave them a test. He said, ask them if Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And I honestly, I've not really heard an explanation that, you know, I just take it. If we don't understand it, we take it for what it says and believe it, okay? But I asked the Lord to help me grasp what it was that he was saying and why. So I hope this will be a help. When man fell, he lost his relationship with Almighty God. He lost that closeness, that communion. His spirit, our spirit, died. Sin severed that. And the Bible says, the day that ye eat thereof, the fruit thereof, ye shall surely die. And sure enough, they did. Adam and Eve did. As far as God was concerned, they were severed from God. Their spiritual life was over. Do you know that a third of the angels of heaven followed Satan, the evil one, followed him in rebelling against Almighty God in heaven? This happened before the Garden of Eden. When they fell, what happened? Well, I wasn't there, of course. But let me share some things with you about angels, and then we'll compare that for a moment with demons. We'll find that God's spirits, angels, Genesis chapter 18, whenever they appeared with the Lord, an Old Testament presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Angels were there with him in Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 19, two angels went to Sodom and met with Lot. And the Bible says very clearly that they, in Genesis chapter 18, they ate, washed their feet. We're not talking about some celestial, spiritual thing. They had flesh. Okay? We find in Genesis chapter 19 that when he came in, when those angels stepped into Lot's house, that he washed their feet and fixed food for them, and they ate. We find that when Jesus arose from the dead, that there were two young men there at the tomb speaking to the ladies and told them, "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see where the place where the Lord lay." We find in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says that be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. And so over and over in the Word of God, we find that God's ministering spirits, referred to as angels, that they can present themselves in a visible human-looking body. They can present themselves in a flesh-looking body that eat. They can eat. You can touch them. You can handle them. Okay? Nowhere in God's holy word do you ever find about the evil spirits, the wicked spirits, demons and devils of hell, nowhere in the Word of God do you find them manifesting themselves in a physical form. They have to possess a physical form. Now, if you compare spiritual scripture with scripture, it just seems very clearly that they lost that when they fell. Among other things, they lost that. Have you ever wondered why Satan in the Garden of Eden? You ever think about why he entered into a serpent to speak to? There was nobody else. The Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so he found the one creature that was the most like him, the most subtle of any creature. And he possessed that creature. Now see, to think this, if you ask someone who claims to be giving the Spirit of God to truth and that kind of thing, and you ask them and say, "What think ye of Christ? Did he come in the flesh?" You'll probably find this man D.M. Panton. D.M. Panton, as I was studying about this, I found that Dr. Phillips he presented that this man went to a meeting of the early Pentecostalism, and where these folks were presenting these speaking in tongues and that kind of thing. It was probably the first presentation of that. Edward Irving, and started a group in the 1830s called the Irvingisms. And so he went to this meeting, and he would ask this question with some of his colleagues to challenge these who were standing up and saying they were speaking for God. And he said these words. He said, "Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" And the person who was channeling or a medium of the Spirit would ignore the question and would go on. He wrote of this in his book. And then as he proceeded, and he said, "Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" The Spirit would then say through the person wonderful things about Jesus, but would never answer the question. Finally, whenever he nailed him against the wall, so to speak, the Spirit would release the individual, and it would be an obvious change, and so the person could say in the affirmative, "Yes, he came in the flesh." But the Spirit could not say it. He documented this in his book. Now, I say all that to say this. Satan would try to deceive even God's very elect if he could. If he could. And perhaps you're not dealing with someone who's trying to bring forth some type of spiritual truth, saying that God has told me to tell you that you're supposed to do something. But I've heard of that happening. God told me to tell you to sell your car and give it to me. Well, okay, that's great. I'm sure that God will tell me also if that's what I'm supposed to do, you know. But the Bible says that this is one thing that you and I can do and should do. And you say, well, why would the Spirit not admit that? Why would they not say that? Because it probably makes them so mad that they lost this ability to present themselves in the flesh, that they have to possess another creature. They have to possess another human being in order to express themselves. You say, well, what does that mean to me today in 2016? If the Holy Spirit of God, if you'll look at the verse prior to chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He takes up residence. He doesn't rest upon us like he did in Old Testament saints. No. He dwells within us because the payment for our sin was paid at Calvary. So he, Holy God, can dwell within us because the payment has been made. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, have you ever had God speak to your heart and you're wondering, is this you, Lord? Are you sure this? Why don't you apply this test right here? Lord, I'm speaking to you, right? Yes, that's right. Lord, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Yes, born of Mary, came in the flesh. As you're praying to the Lord and he's impressing upon your heart, that's what the Bible says for us to do. And then when the Holy Spirit leads us, then we simply have to obey. Because whatever he leads us to do, it will be great. It will be wonderful. It will be blessed of God. We need to walk more in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Not as we see. Not as what we can afford. Not as what we can do. Not as what we can have the talent to accomplish for God. When God lays upon our heart to do something that's outside of our comfort zone, we say, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, then I will do it. I will be on guard and not asleep. I'll be proactive and not reactive. Say, well, is this something that we really, you know, need to do? They did it in Judges chapter 12. Remember in Judges chapter 12, there was fighting going on between Ephraimites. And the Gileadites, there was this battle and this war and that kind of thing. Well, the Ephraimites, because of their dialect and because of what in where they lived, they could not pronounce every consonant that maybe everyone else could. And so at nighttime, you know, there'd be a passage, you know, and to cross a bridge or to cross a pass or whatever like that. And so they didn't have ID cards, and they didn't have flashlights and all these kinds of things. So they knew, the Gileadites knew, that the Ephraimites could not say the letters SH. And so they said, say Shibboleth. And they would say, Sibboleth. Boom. They'd kill him on the spot. They'd reveal who they were just by what they said. In the Dominican Republic, 1932, I believe it, no, 1936, Dominican Republic, the president of the Dominican, along the border, there were some Haitian immigrants. You can look up in history. And the Haitians could not say certain syllables as well, could not frame the words, the sound. The Spanish word for parsley, now I don't know what the Spanish word for parsley is. I mean, I can't say it. Is Dallas right here? Anybody else speak fluent? Okay, no word. Okay, I mean, I have the spelling, but I'm not going to murder the pronunciation. But anyway, but the Spanish word for parsley, the Haitian immigrants could not say that. And so they used that as a shibboleth, so to speak. And it was named the Parsley Massacre because they killed between 10 and 20,000 Haitians just simply because they could not say that it identified who they were. You might know about this one. In the Pacific Theater during World War II, some of our U.S. military, it was very difficult to tell the difference when they were in the jungle between the Philippine army that was their allies and the Japanese. And so they came up with a shibboleth word. It was Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza. And so they would, you know, there was a password, so to speak. And if there was some Japanese soldiers trying to infiltrate and trying to get behind lines and things, and they were going in to kill and to destroy, and they said, say Lollapalooza. And they could not frame the pronunciation. It would come out with an R sound instead of an L sound. And they drew their guns and fired on them. Now listen, please. The demons and devils of hell, according to God's holy word, cannot frame the words, cannot begin to get past the thought of what they lost when they rebelled against Almighty God. They lost their ability to present themselves in a physical form. And they hate it so much that the Holy Spirit says that they will not be able to even confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. To me, that's kind of neat. When I got a hold of that, I thought, praise the Lord. You know, you've given us tools. You've given us keys. My friend, things are going to get worse. And demonic activity is going to increase. But understand this as I close. The Bible says in verse 4, ye are of God. Ye are of God. That means that God has everything under control for you. He's planned for you to become like Jesus Christ, and He's going to take care of every part of your life, just as He saw the children of Israel through Egypt and all the things that they had been through there. God is going to take care of you too. Be on guard, be not asleep. Be proactive, not reactive. And last, be victorious, not defeated. Be victorious, not defeated. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But his teeth have been taken out. He can't even gum you to death. We're on the winning side. And God has told us the secrets. God has given us these kinds of things to be a help and to be a guide, and so that we're not deceived. And shame on us if we are not proactive. Shame on us if we do not consider truth worth fighting for. Shame on us if we aren't taking advantage of the freedom that we have today to go and to share with someone without fear of reprisal, without fear of attack. No, we don't have to have. We don't have to have great miraculous signs to confirm God's word. We have God's word. It's already been confirmed. Now, God is the miracle-working God, and He can do whatever He chooses, and He can do miraculous and wonderful and powerful things, and He has. But don't for a moment get enamored with the sensational and the miraculous to the point that we take our eyes off of what we know is confirmed to try to go to some extra biblical direction and say, well, it must be okay because this and this and this has happened. It must be all right. I know what the Bible says, but man, this is really wonderful. Check it out. Check it out. And make sure it's of God. And God's told us how. I'm kind of glad. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you would direct us and guide us. Lord, may there be folks in our church that would be encouraged to serve you in a greater way, realizing that Jesus Christ is our risen and soon coming King. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. With our heads bowed, would you stand, please, with me? There may be someone in here tonight that's been discouraged because of the storms that are going on in your life. And Satan is trying to scare you. He's trying to tempt you, saying that God is not in control, that somehow you're beyond His grasp. He's telling you these things. You know that they're lies, but you want to surrender anew and afresh. Say, God, you know where I'm at. You know what's going on in my family. You know what's going on in my business. You know what's going on in my children. Please, God, step in, rebuke the enemy, and may you give the victory anew and afresh. We're on the winning side. Claim the victory in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. As they play, if God has spoken to your heart here tonight, won't you come and bow the knee? Say, Lord, I need you tonight. I need you. There is a battle going on. God wants to make this trial a blessing. He wants to. You need to express your faith in Him. In the midst of this wind and the storms, the thunder and the lightning, you need to reach out to Jesus Christ tonight. Just let Him have His way. As God speaks to your heart, you obey Him. Others are coming. How about you? You come in here to charge up. You come in here to arm up. You come in here to get ready to go up. But you have to go out and serve Him out there. Others are coming. How about you? If God moved upon your heart, it's because God wants to do something for you, through you, and in you. That's what He wants. Won't you come? Others are still coming. How about you? God's moved on your heart. That's right. There's a battle that only God and you know about. Satan wants to use it against you. God wants to use it in you. How to know God's voice. That's right. Folks are still coming. You come on. You come on. You do business with God. Meet Him here. While I am waiting, yielded and still. We're still, but are we yielded? Sing the verse, would you please? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Sing it. And as a prayer unto God.
Have thine own way, Lord.
today. If God's moving upon your heart, Christian, it's because He knows what you're going to face in the morning. He knows what your children are going to face when they go back to school. He's saying, trust me now. Trust me now. The Spirit of God will always lead you in the wonderful way. While these are here praying, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we're going to continue to play. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus said that you'll know His voice. If you don't, perhaps it's because you haven't talked with him enough to recognize His voice. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to do that tonight. Spend some time talking with just God. Get alone in a dark room. Say, Lord, I'm just here to talk with You. Heavenly Father, Lord, You've seen the hearts of these that have moved in a public way. And Lord, I praise You for the victories that have been accomplished in their life. And Lord, I pray for others now. Maybe some who are watching, some who are here. But Lord, I pray now that You would move in our hearts in a very visible way, unmistakable way. Lord, we know that You're a Spirit, and they that worship You must worship in spirit and in truth. But Lord, You move circumstances in such a way that we can not mistake and not miss Your hand. Thank You for what You're going to do in our midst. Help us to love You and to live for You in a way that would be pleasing and magnifying to Jesus Christ, in whose wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. God bless you. Look up this way. So glad that you came tonight. What a great crowd on Sunday evening. And thank you for the music. And instrumentalists have been great. Brother Scott, great job directing orchestra. Just we have a deep bench, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. And I'll be back Thursday night, 7 o'clock, looking forward to a great blessing from the children. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon. God bless you.